This is Wednesday, April 17th. Does your family have family reunions? Times when the generations come together and tell stories and remember those who have gone before. One side of my family, my dad's side, every few years would have a gathering on a small farm in a little town in eastern North Carolina. That little town is called Hookerton. The location was the original family homestead, the family farm. And relatives would gather from across the region for lunch, to welcome new family members, to catch up on family news. Now, alongside that main farmhouse was a family cemetery, where members of the family had been buried for generations. Each gravestone connected with a story of the family, from the various periods of time from the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, losses from World War I and World War II, and up to the present as well. Walking through that little cemetery is like walking through our family history. Your family has a history, whether you remember and celebrate it or not. And this was true for the people of God. The Lord chose to work through one family, Abraham and Sarah, and to establish his covenant with them. And that family grew slowly, but soon it numbered into the hundreds of thousands. How could such a large family stay together? As the nation grew, as the years passed, how could they keep coming together as a people? Now, I want to go to our text for today to see just how this worked for them and also for us who are in Christ. This is Psalm chapter 100, verse 1 to 3. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now this song that we're looking at today, and we've been looking at this week, stood at the center of worship for the people of God. Notice it explains that God made his people. Now of course this is true. God is the creator of all things. He created them. But he did something more. He brought them together and made them to be a people. God began with that one couple, Abraham and Sarah, and he put his affection on them. He called them away from home to be with him and to be his. Then later on, after the Hebrews had been in bondage in Egypt, God redeemed his people. He brought them out. Then once in the wilderness, God made them into a nation. He gave them their identity, their place in the world, you could say, their name. And in the process, the Lord gave his people three major feasts that celebrate their story. You could call them family reunions. These were times when the nations stopped their day-to-day lives long enough to come together and to remember their roots, to remember their connection to God and to each other. Each helped them to remember their time in slavery and their experience in the wilderness. Now, there were three of these feasts. The first was called the Passover, the meal commemorating their freedom from Egyptian slavery. This meal was a family time around the family dinner table that engaged the youngest to the oldest. The evening was planned and scripted to retell the story of their deliverance. Second, there was the feast called Pentecost. This celebration was a public and national one that had two major purposes. It was the time to remember how the Lord gave his people the law, and also a time to thank God for the first fruits of the harvest each year. So the people came together to express their gratitude to God for his faithful provision for them. And finally, the third of these, they celebrated what's called the Feast of Tabernacles. This was the time they remembered how they lived in tents in the wilderness. I remember being in Jerusalem years ago, and I noticed people were carrying around stalks and branches from plants. It was the Feast of Tabernacles, and seeing the droves of people who were coming into the city to celebrate. The people carried supplies that would be used to construct makeshift tents. Now, why did the Lord command his people to come together for these feasts? Well, first, for all of us, we need to remember who we are and where we have come from. Yes, there were family reunions for the people of God, as we've seen, just as those visits to that little farm in eastern North Carolina that helped me to connect with my family story. Every generation has this challenge, to pass along the legacy and meaning of their family to eat to the next generation and their people that come afterward. Yes, the people look forward to these times together. At the Passover Seder, the meal is planned and choreographed to share the message with the children in the household. Now, you might wonder how these feasts connect to us. Well, first, our worship services are meant to remind us of our identity in God. And each worship service aims to retell the story of the gospel. In a sense, we are each week declaring the gospel to the next generation. We are also taking the time to celebrate what God has done for us in Jesus. This is why we continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is our Passover feast, when we are reminded of all that Jesus has done to redeem us and to remember all that we have in Him. We are encouraged to rest in the finished work of Jesus done on our behalf and reminded that our sins have been forgiven and we've been adopted into the family of God by faith in Christ. You see, our worship brings the saving work of Jesus into the present whenever we meet, and it keeps it before us so that we can continue to enjoy all that we have been given. Now, it's good to remember here that these times of remembrance are not meant to be monthly or weekly, but brought into each day as we remember that we belong to the God who has loved us in Christ. So how can we keep the celebrations going? That's the purpose of our worship, these times of joy that we plan to remind us that we are His. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you call us to remembrance today that we might not forget your great love for us. Keep the gospel, the good news of Jesus, before us this day so that we might bask in your goodness and grace. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.